everybody. Welcome to episode 60 of Game Over Nation. I am your host, Javi Rodriguez. With me this week is Ryan De La Rosa.
Hello.
And Dylan Rausch.
Hey.
Hey. And Gabe Philbin.
Pop, pop.
And our very special guest,
You've been doing
Ashley
that every fucking
Birch.
Week, Gabe. Pop, pop.
Pop, pop.
God
That's
damn.
That's because this podcast has
magnitude.
Well, our special guest this week is Ashley Birch from Hey Ash, What You Playing?
And hello.
And Borderlands 2.
Yes, indeed.
And a bunch of other things, I'm sure. Anything
like
else?
Like two other things.
Yeah, two other
things. Neither of which I can talk about, actually.
Unnamed Valve project.
Yes.
I'm curious, are you working on site, or?
I'm on site right now, yeah.
Really? Oh, mm-hmm. Shit. You're like 20 minutes away.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm in Renton.
Oh, nice. Awesome.
All right, Gabe, hit us with some knowledge.
All right. So the biggest thing this week was the Wii U officially announced, kind of. Well, price and release date. And all sorts
the
of
what?
Other good news. So it's priced in two SKUs at $299 and $349, which people really got angry about. I don't see why. That's what everyone thought it was, wasn't it?
I don't know, I guess. Nah. I just thought it was weird that they're basically giving us all, like, cell phone memory. Like, here's 8 gigs, here's 32 gigs.
Yeah, but here's the thing between those, what you get with the two different price points. Like, I don't understand how anybody would go for the $299 one, because, like, for $50 more, you get a game, which I guess is worth $50.
The $299
bucks.
Fuck you model.
You're right. I don't know. But you get the extra memory, which I'm sure is going to be useful. Even though it's not that much, but you get the game, you get the memory, and don't you get like a controller charger or something like that?
Yeah, you get like a thing for the tablet to charge it.
Yeah, I mean, you're gonna need that. So.
Well, that was the one I pre-ordered. So.
Right.
I
you already got one?
Yeah.
That's the biggest questions I have about the Wii U. Why are people buying it?
Well, because we have a website where we have to talk about these things, so I figured one of us at least should
but
have
there's
one.
Nothing to talk about it.
Also, Rayman Legends, though. Rayman Legends is going to be amazing.
Did that make it into the launch window, quote-unquote?
It's getting released, I think, shortly. It's at, like, November 30th, maybe?
Is that an exclusive?
Yes.
Unfortunately.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh. Unfortunately.
I really don't want to buy a whole other system to play Rayman Legends.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I also
how did that happen?
System, so.
You know, it's funny.
Well, they also got Bayonetta 2.
Yeah, Bayonetta 2.
But that has a good story behind it. That like Sega wouldn't pay for it, and Nintendo's like, ah, we gotcha. Just make it for us. It's like, all right, cool. but
you have to use this dumb thing that we're including with it. Ah, fuck.
It's like a weird game to have for the Wii U, because I don't know, Bayonetta 1 didn't exactly
Gabe,
sell well.
They're back to hardcore, don't you know? This is their coming.
Hey, I'm cool with that, man. Whatever. That sold the system to me. Because next gen, I was only going to buy the Nintendo console and stick with the PC. So, fuck.
Yeah.
I'm happy.
What are you going to do about all those Infamous 3 and Uncharted 4?
I don't fucking care.
I don't think Infamous 3 is going to happen, Hodge.
I think it is.
Infamous 2 sold pretty
bad. I'm going to walk over to Sucker Punch real quick. I'll be right back. Knock on their door.
So, Ashley, is your system of choice the 360?
As far as consoles go, yes.
Okay, do you mostly play on the PC?
Yes, I do.
So PC is your PC of choice.
Well, me and Javi just somewhat recently got PCs that can play anything, so I've been spending more time on that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, good PC is the way to go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I just got a new graphics card for Borderlands 2, and it came with an extra copy of Borderlands 2.
Ba-ba-ba-ba.
Oh yeah, we're making you give that away later, Ashley. Just
I am?
No pressure. No pressure.
Mm-hmm. Oh
no
shit.
Pressure.
All the pressure.
Sorry in advance, everyone.
We were going to tell you beforehand, but then we didn't.
I was going to say that with the Wii U, like with Nintendo in general, people always complain that they've forgotten the hardcore and they don't have third-party support, but like here we have two legitimate signs that Nintendo is pushing for that. You know, they're locking
in. Who's doing
in,
Zombie U?
Ubisoft.
Yeah, because I think someone said that Ubisoft has like six launch titles or something, or six games. in development for it or something like that. I don't know.
In the launch window, they have 8 games in the launch window, which is from November 18th when the console launches to the end of March, which is the largest launch window ever. Huh.
But they did that with the Wii also. I mean, they had Red Steel and Raving Rabbids and a couple other titles. But no, I mean, but those were, I mean, they may not have been great games, but they had a lot of money behind
when's
them.
When's the last
time Ubisoft pushed those?
When's
titles.
The last time we got a Mario title as a launch?
Oh, that's a good question. Was it that long ago?
64? Well, like a 3D Mario, I think, because this one has a 2D Mario.
That... Yeah, regardless, the 2D ones are selling much more than the 3D ones.
Yeah.
And they're apparently super easy to make because they keep making them.
And considering that's going to be a pretty big launch.
Is it just new Super Mario Brothers 2?
Yes, sir.
New Super Mario Brothers U. Actually,
whatever
is it?
Is it really?
Is it really?
Yeah, yeah.
No, it's not.
You're not fucking around, really?
No, New Super Mario Brothers U.
I'm looking that up right now.
Full of
shit.
Oh yeah, because New Super Mario Brothers 2. No, that was the 3DS one. Was New Super Mario Brothers 2? Because
oh, he's right. He's not fucking around, man. It is. Booyah! Fact.
I hate you so much, Nintendo. I'm gonna go cancel my pre-order now.
They had to do it. It had to be done. They have to hit a certain quota on puns with a name like Wii U.
If Nintendo gets Mirror's Edge 2 made, then I'll get it. But why didn't they do that?
Will you get it if it's called Mirror's Edge U? That's the real question.
I'll put a Sharpie to the game.
And you have to play it with your Mii.
Oh, that'd be so fun. You have little balls for hands running in front of the screen.
You can't grab onto anything because you don't have fingers.
They put in realistic physics so you just bounce off everything. It's a really short game.
This is a good game, guys. You should make this. Get on it.
All right.
This entire week I've been having second thoughts about Mirror's Edge 2 and how I probably don't want it to become a thing. But it probably won't become a thing.
It's going to fix everything. Don't worry.
Yeah. Actually, I'm like number one Mirror's Edge fanboy.
Oh, really?
I love that game. On PC. On consoles, it's pretty easy.
But, in Gabe's own words, you love Mirror's Edge not because it's so great, but because it had so much potential.
Mm-hmm. Right.
All right. That's cool.
Your logic it baffles me, Gabe. Like, when you bought Darksiders 2 as an investment.
Darksiders 2 as an investment in Saints Row 4.
Entirely. I don't give flying fucks about Darksiders, but I want Saints Row 4.
just trying to keep that company afloat.
I respect that. I absolutely respect that.
Well, I bought it for both reasons, because I do like Darksiders. So.
And I love
boring. Saints Row
you
the
fool.
Third.
Yeah, the long-term goal of keeping THQ afloat so that Volition can continue to do things.
Yes.
And that's why I bought 3 copies of SpongeBob.
Let's all just go get that UDraw tablet real quick.
Oh,
yeah.
let's all not.
What about a UDraw U?
No.
No.
They made that and they sold it with their stupid console.
Just wait, that'll be THQ's like final nail in the coffin when they try it again.
They're gonna try it again and just be like, wait, it comes with a thing?
It comes with it now, guys. We have to do it.
How come nobody told us?
Yeah.
Did anyone research this? Fuck. Yeah. Anyway.
THQ.
So, Gabe, what's going on?
We're
going
to get you back on the road, THQ. But, okay, so next up is Overstrike and how everyone was disappointed at the same time when they saw the release, or like the new trailer for Fuse.
A collective sigh. Oh my! You have not seen it.
It was a collective internet frowny face.
Okay, you remember? You like the trailer
lame.
From E3.
Of course, I did.
The Overstrike trailer. Everyone likes the Overstrike trailer.
Did it have an Avril Lavigne like playing a song over the top of it, or what? I'm just trying to figure out why Javi liked it.
On my computer, it did.
I was watching E3 with Javi. I was on Skype at work with, and that trailer played and.
Which one was this from this year, E3?
Yes.
No,
I was
this
only
was
home
this
to,
was
I was
a year ago,
for
E3.
The first day.
Last year, E3 was when the Overstrike trailer came out.
Oh, okay.
And then This week, they brought it back as Fuse, which looks really stiff and boring and just walk. Like, the entire trailer is just walking and shooting. Like, just different clips of people walking and shooting. And just doesn't have,
I don't
like,
know any games with those two things.
It doesn't have any life to it like the original trailer did.
Here, let me bring up the comparison, see if you can spot the difference.
For all, so all the listeners can see.
Is it because it looks like Ratchet? Because Ratchet is a lot of walking and shooting also. So
see, but
Ratchet has
color and excitement. This is
drama.
Like, bland, stiff. Nonsense.
Super cool commercials.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Here's the image. The old designs are in the back. The new ones are the smaller.
This is great audio.
This is really great for everyone at home.
Whatever.
I will describe it to you, listeners. Sit back, close your eyes.
Wait, which one's which?
Okay, the ones in the back.
Overstrike is in the background.
Fuse is the ones up front that looks like you're pretty much every other shooter.
Yeah. At least the Overstrike characters had some style,
some
to
pizzazz.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's not that different.
No, but it's like they publicly said like it's more serious, not really like humorous, like the original trailer. Like made
I don't
it.
I know if you've
like...
seen the internet. It doesn't take much for them to all get pissed off.
No, not at all.
It's yeah,
true.
It doesn't.
No. I am a great example of that.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Magnitude just tweeted pop pop. God.
He doesn't tweet anything else. Why are you surprised?
Maybe one day he will. We're all just waiting.
We're just anticipating.
Well, Ashley, do you watch Community, Ashley?
Yes, I love Community.
Okay. Okay. So you get the joke. No one else does except Ryan.
Yeah, I'm never going to understand it.
Okay. You should watch Community. It's a great show.
It is. He won't because out of spite for Harris, because Harris is like all over that show, but Dylan just likes to make Harris mad. So
Harris did say that he has busted out that joke a couple times in his math class. Every time someone says magnitude, and every time his teacher says magnitude, and no one gets it, and that blows my mind that no one.
And he keeps trying. He keeps saying pop up, just hoping that one day.
Yeah. I just don't understand.
He's a braver man than I am.
How a bunch of high school kids that like none of them have watched Community.
What's wrong with that kid in class that keeps saying pop pop?
What?
He's Tourette. Feel so bad for him.
The teacher's been talking to the counselor. Like
I just don't know what to do. He keeps saying pop pop. Yeah.
No one wants to tell Harris. They feel bad.
You're all idiots. All
right. So the problem with Overstrike, Gabe, is that they look realistic now.
Oh,
or just
okay.
No.
You gotta watch the trailer. It's the tone of the trailer. It seems.
Yeah, let's all pull that up and watch it.
No, I'm not. That's just gonna spend time. Oh, what's going on? No, my issue was it looks like all the personality that the original trailer had has been sucked out to make another
Precisely.
Shooter. And
I'm still impressed that they're
the
just
new
trying
trailer
to get this thing out
like
in March.
Nothing that was really interesting about it. Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, in fact, for a second, I saw a screenshot of it. It looked like Shepard. One of the characters. I was like, is that Mass Effect? No, it was Fuse.
I have a rocky relationship with Insomniac. I love Ratchet, and then Resistance is all over the place. It's like, eh, I don't
By
like
all
it
over
at
the
all.
Place, you just mean boring and lame.
Yeah, like its peak, which nobody really agrees with me. In my opinion, its peak was Resistance 2, but only at certain points.
Did you ever finish Resistance 3?
No.
I believe you got rid of it, didn't?
No, I still have it.
Oh.
That's a true fan.
Know.
That's a true fan.
Daddy, I'm not a fan of Resistance. I am not. But yeah,
Ashley,
I don't know.
Have you played the Resistance games?
I haven't.
Okay.
You're
not really missing anything. I don't know why people like it so much.
Yeah. Like I said, the reason I didn't play the second game is because I did play the first. I was like, nope. Done with this.
I imagine working for a developer, you can't really just say bad things about other developers' work without looking terrible. So no, Ashley was straight away from
that. Not with that attitude, you can't.
Yes, correct. So, sorry if I'm a
little... Ashley, how bad did Resistance suck?
Oh, man.
Oh, man, it's the worst.
Let me just tell you.
She's just going to basically sit here and say she's played no game ever, so she doesn't have to answer. I have no opinions. I have
Portal,
not played
never
anything.
Played it. Never played it. CS2, nope. I haven't played a single game in my life.
Every single episode of Hey Ash, What You Playing is a total lie.
I'm just guessing. Yeah,
she's
throwing,
she's not actually playing anything.
Nothing.
No, that's the great existential crisis of my life. Is that I'm constantly asked that question, and I'm never playing anything.
Yeah. And now you should make Hey Ash, What You Developing?
See, we told him we instructed him not to make jokes. A certain bad joke, so he just found a loophole for that.
Yep. Got his way to the other side.
I can't believe I didn't think of that one. How did I not try to stop him?
You can't stop
anything
the signal.
That starts with "Hey Ash, whatcha, Javi?" You cannot say it.
It is okay. You're allowed. I just won't have a response because I just don't know what to say. People ask me what I'm playing, and I'm like walking, and I'm like, I just don't know. I'm just screaming for until I get into the line of sight. Just no idea.
She just screamed at me.
I don't know what I'm playing. I just run.
I thought it was hilarious.
I just defaulted to saying, oh, hey. Because I was like, oh, you know that thing I do. Because I don't know, and I'm not playing anything, and I forget what I'm playing at the time. Because it's like when someone... anytime that your spotlight is shining on you, it's like you just go wide-eyed or whatever. That's what I get whenever anyone asks me what I'm playing. I can't just think about, like, what's the last thing I played. I just go, I just can't. I just freeze up.
Understandable.
So, Little Big Planet Vita launches a week early. Free advertising?
That's what happens when Javi reads my notes. Literally.
He reads them word for word.
And then puts a question mark at the end.
There is a question mark at the end.
Yeah.
Because that's what I
He's
think it is. Because Sony never tries to actually advertise the games they put out. So one way to get around that is to just make a story out of it. That they don't have to do anything with, just, hey, you know, sell our games a week early. People will write about it.
And they did. So, yeah, because we're talking about it. Way to go, Gabe. Feeding the machine.
Hey, it worked. I'm not saying it's a bad idea.
I didn't know that was out, or supposed to
be.
Yeah,
I didn't.
Whatever.
I didn't know it was a thing.
Didn't.
Look at that.
You didn't know Little Big Planet Vita existed?
No. I had no idea.
Oh.
Damn.
Dylan barely even knows the Vita exists, Ryan. That's like his favorite thing to bash on.
Yeah.
Hey, I have a PSP that's sitting cold on my shelf and it's been there for 8 years.
And you carved into the back of it.
Yeah. So, Javi, is this the thing that's going to eventually get you to buy a Vita?
No, nothing's going to get me to buy a Vita because it's enormous.
No.
Oh, no.
Why is that a problem?
I guess.
I don't know. I don't want a handheld.
It's funny because Javi bought the DS at launch.
I did.
And that thing's massive.
Well, the Vita is bigger than the original DS.
It had a touchscreen and a microphone and two screens at the same time. You know. And it had a remake of my favorite game, one of my favorite games of all time, Mario 64. Like, okay, I couldn't, nah. I'm down. I'm in. You got me, Nintendo.
Javi's easy.
So,
well, this one has all those things and your favorite PlayStation game ever, Little Big Planet. So,
favorite PlayStation game ever? Please. Please.
No, see, the key to Javi's heart with Sony is to do Metal Gear.
I do love Little Big Planet, but I have a girlfriend who has a Vita, and she loves Little Big Planet, so problem solved. Thanks, Rachel.
All right.
God, I hate you.
You probably didn't hear it, but I like dropped my mic and walked out of my bedroom.
Do you have a Vita, Ash? Really...
No, I don't. Actually, Ryan, I don't have any handheld gaming devices except for my phone.
See? Do you see, guys? The future.
Yeah.
You just play Snuggle Truck, right?
I was just about to bring up Snuggle Truck.
I love Snuggle Truck. Game's a shit. I was sitting at the bank for an hour, and I'm like, I'm going to pull out some Snuggle Truck.
We were in Seattle. I think it was the night you stayed somewhere else, Gabe. I wake up in the morning, and Javi is playing something with these ridiculous sounds coming out of it. Like, what are you doing? Snuggle Trucking. Okay.
These stuffed animals got across the border somehow.
So describe, what is, you smuggle stuffed animals across
a
border?
You got a dirty old truck that's all rusty and stuff, and there's a bunch of little stuffed animals in the back of it, and it has like cool physics and stuff, and so you're like trying to get through the level as quickly as possible without the stuffed animals flying out the back of your truck.
And I honestly think this was them trying to fix their original super racist title. And I'm not making a bad joke here. This is literally on the marketplace. Smuggle Truck, which is just immigrants that you're crossing the border with. That's a literal game that exists. It's the same company, same art style. Everything looks exactly the same except what's in the bed of your truck. And the name.
Holy shit.
It's Smuggle Truck and Snuggle Truck. And I'm pretty sure awesome. Smuggle Truck happened first, and then they went, hey, guess how racist that is? And then turned it to teddy bears.
Well, Snuggle Truck was part of the Humble Indie Bundle for Android or whatever, so that's how I ended up with it. Right. I don't really
And I found out about this because when you were sitting there playing it, I looked it up in the store on my phone, and like that's why I was literally like making sure, okay, the cover looks exactly the same except for what's in the bed of the truck. That's the same company.
Were you an avid Smuggle Truck player, Ryan? How do you know all of this?
I gotta know.
I actually pitched the idea. Yeah.
Cool.
Well, next up, Microsoft officially renewed the Killer Instinct trademark and probably won't do anything with it. Just getting people excited.
Well, I think it's one of those things where you're just trying to like not let anyone else do anything with the name. So, I would imagine.
Of course, I never played Killer Instinct.
Do that. Then again, the team's gone. Never mind. But Microsoft still owns the Perfect Dark license.
Yeah, remember Perfect Dark Zero? That was the best. I don't know. Rare is just in total shambles, so I don't care about anything they ever put out again.
I missed the 64 days Rare. That was just glory days, man.
Isn't it crazy, like, the plethora of genres that they tackled and nailed every single one. That's
insane. Fucking, what was Conker's Bad Fur Day?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It still lives in my memory so fondly.
Mm-hmm. I still have a copy of that, actually.
Oh, man, so good.
I mean, they did 3D platformers flawlessly with Banjo-Kazooie and, well, mm-hmm. Donkey Kong 64. I love that game, but I know a
Donkey
lot of people hate it.
Donkey Kong's a little...
But, and then they did first-person shooters with Perfect Dark and GoldenEye, like, oh my god. And then Killer Instinct was a fighting game, and they nailed it. Like, there's nothing they could do wrong. Even 2D platformers with Donkey Kong Country. Like, man. What happened to Rare? What happened to all those people?
Good old Killer Instinct.
They started making games that didn't sell. Well, they all left and then started making games that didn't sell.
It all started with Jet Force Gemini, and then...
That was Dare a good Fex. Game, though.
Yeah, no, they were all
I really
good.
Liked that game. Yeah, it just didn't do very well, because it was one of those things where, I don't know, there wasn't, like, as good as the play was, and, like, these big worlds that you were exploring and whatnot. Like, I think the whole game looked a little too generic, and there wasn't anything that people were, like, identifying with.
Yeah,
they
I
really,
think it
they
had
really
to do
stuck
with
anybody.
The games they were making just didn't have a hook, or they were just bizarre, and there was no reason, like, unless you knew, oh, Rare made this, I better pick it up, like, you would see that on the shelf and be like, yeah, no, I'm not picking
Jet
it up.
Jet Force Gemini, it sounds stupid, that's a dumb name.
And actually, like, Perfect Dark didn't do that well, especially if you look at GoldenEye's sales, you know,
well, the
like,
big
everybody
thing,
had GoldenEye.
The big thing that helped Perfect Dark, though, was that they were able to say, this is the GoldenEye engine made by the same people that made GoldenEye, and that carried it.
Yeah. But even so, like, you talk to people and you're like, have you played Perfect Dark? Usually they say no, but everybody's played GoldenEye. And it's like, ah, it's better than GoldenEye.
It is.
What's wrong with you?
What's wrong with you?
What's wrong with you?
A lot of things.
We're funny.
Well, still their best game's Banjo-Kazooie. You can't argue that. Sorry, it's fact.
I can. Oh.
Actually, I probably can't because I didn't play Banjo-Kazooie.
Get it on Xbox Live.
Oh, man, you gotta
get it.
It's
on Xbox Live.
It's great.
So is Banjo-Tooie, and they put the stop and swap thing in there, and it's so cool. But it's, like, too much work to really care about.
Actually, I haven't played Banjo-Kazooie in a while, like, since it came out. Does it still hold up?
Do you still have a lot of your old consoles at all?
I have. We were idiots, Anthony and I, when we were young, and we were like, oh, man. The N64 is out. Let's sell our NSNES for money toward this thing. And then we just kept doing it. And then when we hit like high school, we were like, what the fuck did we do? And
yeah, no, I have that. Except like, I sold my original NES for a Super Nintendo. And then after that, I managed to kind of deter that for a little bit. And then like in high school and stuff, I had enough money to where I could at least pitch in so I didn't have to, like, I had a job and stuff, so I didn't have to, like, sell my other consoles to do it, but, and then once the Xbox generation was around, like, I had a job in college and all that, so I just bought my own then, so I was able to hang on to all my old ones. I still have every single console except for the Dreamcast, which I sold to buy Game Boy Advance SP.
It's amazing how easy it is to, like, rebuy all those old consoles and games, though. Like, you can find them, like, in little retro stores around.
I wouldn't mind having another Dreamcast. I still have games for it. Like, I still have all the... I didn't sell any of the games that I had, but...
Mm-hmm. Probably could have stolen it from Javi and Fozzie's house. They wouldn't notice.
Didn't even know.
Wasn't even plugged in. Fozzie's done playing Seaman.
Makes me glad I'm a hoarder.
You mean Seaman?
Seaman.
You guys played with Seaman?
Oh yeah, Fozzie did ask us that.
Yeah.
Did you guys ever play Seaman? What?
What?
On the Dreamcast.
It's like completely out of context. Like, what?
Oh no, I went, excuse me?
Yeah.
Have you guys actually watched, like, what that game is?
Yeah, it's terrifying.
It's like Courage the Cowardly Dog terrifying.
Is that the height of terror for you? Courage the Cowardly Dog? It's like the ceiling. I mean, I believe you and I sympathize with that show. I loved it, but it was fucking crazy.
Whatever that... I don't know, there was this one random like clip at the end. It was like this embryo man inside a bottle saying, help me or something. And I had nightmares about that for 3.5 weeks. I remember.
How old were you when that
game was
came
born
out,
in 1997?
Yeah. When I didn't have nightmares about semen. Oh, that sounds bad.
Oh.
See what he did? Because it sounds like jizz.
No, we get it. Thank you.
Thank you, Javi.
Sorry.
Thank you, Javi. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that clarification. Okay, you were born when? 92?
Nope, 93. Sorry, Ryan. You're old.
93.
Man.
God damn.
I was born in 93,
Ryan
12 years after you, Ryan, and I still look
father.
Older than you.
No, I would have been 10.
Hey,
they grow
there,
up so
there,
fast.
There are records, dude.
You know a lot of 10-year-old fathers?
No, I don't ask.
Hey, there's this one documentary called That's My Boy, and I think it's about this guy who has a kid when he's like 10. It's like some Adam Sandler documentary.
As you can tell, we can never stay
you.
On track.
And failed joke after failed joke. We will not stop.
Yeah.
Well, what was the topic?
Join
anyway?
In, Ashley. Throw a terrible joke our way.
Oh, let me think. Let's see. Mm. What's brown and sticky?
What?
A stick.
Ba-ba-da-ba!
Good night, everybody. I'm just going to leave. I'm just going to leave, and you can do the rest of the podcast by yourself.
Well, she's leaving on a high note. She can't top that. She knows.
Yeah, it's true.
Are you talking?
Gabe's just trying to talk, and we're all just like, let's ignore that guy.
I made such a perfectly bad segue. Such a perfectly bad segue.
We talked over all that, too.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
Okay, Dragon Age 3?
Yeah, I said, speaking of bad jokes,
oh, I love
Dragon
you.
Age 3 I Inquisitions was an app.
Next segment, we changed it up a little bit. It used to be what you're playing, but no, it wasn't that.
What are we playing?
Gabe's pissed.
You're allowed to say it, honestly. I didn't want to make it like an untouchable subject or something.
Let's not address the elephant in the room.
Hey, elephant, what you playing?
Oh,
I'm hilarious. All right, why do we play games? Why do we love them? That is the question Gabe asks, and
I thought it would be a nice thing to talk about. Changes the pace up a little bit, because Ashley has many, many like little experiences with writing about games, being involved in the industry. You wrote your thesis about. You're gonna have to read it, because I can't read it all in one sentence without fucking up.
Oh, it's a my senior thesis was a qualitative study of women that played Red Dead Redemption and their experience of it. Because I just wanted to see how women responded to a highly masculine narrative in a game.
How did they respond to that achievement, putting a woman on the train tracks? I'm curious.
Actually, I can't remember how many subjects I had, but there were like 5 out of a bunch, like 5 out of 50, or I can't remember exactly the ratio, that were actually... I don't know, like, what did they call it in Red Dead?
Dastardly.
Dastardly, was that what it was?
Yeah.
I kept wanting to say Renegade, but that's not right, that's Mass Effect. Anyway, only, like, very, very few women actually were dastardly, and one person specified that they liked doing that, but that was, like, the only one.
Right. I remember reading that some people got a little up in arms about that.
Yeah, what you think? I mean, I guess if you don't
you
know...
You mean people who didn't
like,
understand the reference?
Yeah.
I mean, it could be viewed as bad. You're tying up a woman, possibly innocent, and putting her on a train track and watching her explode into little tiny chunks.
Right.
It's not possibly innocent. It has to be one that tried to rob you, right? And tried to get you killed.
No, you can hogtie anybody.
No, it's just...
Yeah, I think you can hogtie anyone to get the achievement.
Okay. Yeah. That changes everything.
I spent my days in the West just dragging people behind my horse.
I was just gonna say that, like, achievement or not, you should see the way I play any sandbox game. I'm a bastard.
Just, right. Like,
actively beat the crap out of any civilian I walk past and sleeping dogs, and just like shove their heads into car doors and stuff. It's awesome. So
I actually, I'm sorry, I keep fucking interrupting.
No, go ahead. I've been listening very attentively this whole time we've been recording, and the Ashley to us ratio is like really low. So I want you to talk.
Bless I'm sorry, I just like, yeah, I can't. I'm trying to not talk about like, yeah, any judgments on any other games and stuff.
Gotcha.
Especially coming from Valve, it's like you just look like a fucking dick, you know? It's like you're just making really good games, just pissing on everyone else below you. But yeah, so oddly, when I play open world games, the research project, that research project was interesting because going in, I wanted a certain response that I... Like, I wanted, I guess, some sort of validation for, like, maybe that gender predispositions aren't as rampant as I thought they were. And it's not bad at all. Like, I was really excited and happy about all the responses I got. But it was interesting that they fell more into gendered lines than I thought they would. And I realized that's kind of how I play open world games, too. I'm always nice. If I ever fuck with people, it's usually in really non-destructive ways. Like, I'll just push them. I'll just, like, you know, just kind of just troll them, really. I don't really, like... Mm-hmm. kill them. I'll just like inconvenience them slightly.
She'll pick their pocket. No, they won't even know until later.
Right.
Like.
I mean, exactly.
That's how I play. As long as there's no, I mean, usually you know, like in Red Dead, if you kill random people, you lose karma or whatever. You know, it just reflects badly on you, and then there's a bounty on you and all that stuff. So like. That affects,
yeah, and that inconveniences you when you're playing. That's what that's a bigger incentive for me to not do it is because I don't want to go fucking run from this guy for 10 minutes so I can do stuff again.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and that's like when I play a game for the first time, like Infamous, I always go the hero route and I play exactly like you, Ashley. Like I don't mess with anybody. But in a game like Sleeping Dogs, where there's absolutely no, it's weird. Like you don't get anything good or bad for just killing people in the street, like, unless you're on a mission. If you're on a mission, then it affects your cop status, and you get less cop experience, I guess.
Right. Well, the same deal was kind of with Saints Row the Third. I mean, other than getting chased, but when you got chased, that was kind of fun. Like,
right.
In that game, it was a little different.
Yeah, and Saints Row, you're just running down the sidewalk and, like, surfing on people's faces. That's
Right, that the violence in that game is so cartoonish that it's just, it ascends into elegance, really, at that point.
Yeah.
Right.
Beating people with purple dildo bats. There's just something sort of artful about that. Just cross over to the other side.
If only our friend Devin could see it that way.
He refused to play it.
He's very indignant about that
game. It
was
too much adolescent humor or something. You're like, you haven't played it. You don't know.
Yeah, you don't get to say that.
He was adjusting his monocle as he was saying.
Yeah.
Please.
Well, I'm going to go off on a little pretentious tirade, but I actually, at GDC, I was lucky enough to have lunch with Steve Jaros, who wrote Saints Row the Third, and who's a super nice guy. And he was actually saying, he was telling me about, like, because I asked him if he'd seen an article that I had read saying that, like, Saints Row was one of the most progressive games that they'd played, like, ever, because you can essentially make a transgender character. You know, whether you're doing that for comedy or because you actually feel like it represents you, whatever, the option is there. I played as a 100-year-old, overweight, black woman with a male voice, and it was the best.
I actually played the second half of the game as a really smoking hot woman with a guy's voice.
Right, exactly. So I was talking to him about that, and he was like, oh yeah, all of that was intentional for that reason. He's like, I have friends that are transgender or that, you know, are figuring out their gender and stuff like that, and I really wanted a game that would represent them as well. So for all of the things that you could say are adolescent about Saints Row, it actually is like one of the most progressive games in terms of gender that exists right now, I would say.
That's funny.
It even represented the zombie population.
It sure did.
Yeah.
Gabe, if you'll allow me, now that's irony, right? All right. Was that real proper use of irony?
What?
No? Ash, Javi likes to make me mad because he loves to use irony in all the wrong ways.
Dude, it was so ironic the other day. He gets so mad. It's the funniest thing.
You won't believe what I ran in today. It was so ironic.
Man. I can hear it. I can hear it in his voice.
At this point, I just look at him and I just go, "Now that's irony." I just wait for it. That's great.
So, like, I'm a hard person to make mad. I'm usually like happy or I don't know. Neutral.
Really, usually just happy or crying all the time.
Yeah. There's no in between. I'm either happy or just bawling my eyes out. Then Javi finds that middle ground that just makes me pissed whenever he says irony as coincidental.
Well, but this is irony, isn't it? Because Saints Row 3, you'd think,
I can't even remember what you said. It just triggers something.
You're gone. You just see red. Now that's irony.
Sure. Anyways,
why do we play games? Why do we love them?
He's just reading word for word from the thing again.
Yeah, so what I thought we could talk about, or Ashley could, because she is number one Brendan Chung fan club, is...
I am.
Like,
that is true.
Is how 30 Flights 11... kind of showed how like how much more there is to games than we've seen already. That game is just a giant experiment of Brennan Chung finding ways to tell a story with no dialogue and just crazy jump cuts.
Yeah, it's awesome. Brendan is, yeah, if the fan club thing is a reference to the fact that we had him, well, I just talk about it a lot on Twitter probably, and also we had him on our podcast a week ago or 2 weeks ago. And
I listened to a bit of that today.
It was just, it was pretty much just us verbally filleting Brendan Chung for an hour. and Brendan Chung being really charming and smart. So if you enjoy those things, then you can go listen to it. But yeah, I feel like Brendan, and the reason why it was so great to talk to Brendan was that he's just, it's like, especially, well, most indie developers that I've had the good fortune to meet are just super inspiring because they're really pushing how people perceive of games and what games can do. And I know there are a lot of people that thought 30 Flights didn't like it because it had no gameplay. But I thought it was actually a push in the right direction from Gravity Bone. It was, he was just making it more of the thing that that Gravity Bone excelled at. And he said he made it because he liked that and he knew other people. He didn't know how many people, but he knew some amount of other people would enjoy that kind of experience, which is just awesome. And he's right. I mean, it's a nice little snippet of how affecting just even the slightest amount of interactivity can be in an experience. So even if you're not going to call 30 Flights a game, if you just call it like an interactive narrative or something, it's still really compelling. Because if you saw those, not mechanics, what's the word I'm looking for?
If you saw devices
or whatever, if you saw them in a film, you would be like, oh, that's neat, but you wouldn't necessarily like, what? Which I don't know, me and all my friends did when we played 30 Flights of Loving. It's just that noise we were making it the entire time. And yeah, there's just, there are other interactive art forms that have existed in life before, but games are singular in the fact that, especially with games like, you know, Mass Effect or more emergent story telling games like Minecraft or DayZ, where you're literally crafting the story either with the developers or just independent of them, just because they set up this nice little world for you to do it. It's some of the most affecting. I say storytelling over and over again because that's what I care the most about. But like Mass Effect is the most, one of my favorite experiences of a story that I've ever had. Just because, yeah, like everyone dogs on 3 to the ends of the earth, but I mean, whatever, regardless of what you think of the ending, everything up until the ending is just like fucking solid
gold.
That's
exactly what I've been saying.
Yeah, it's solid gold storytelling.
I got into a talk with some friends last night about Game of the Year stuff, and I was like, you know, it's really unfortunate that Mass Effect 3 is going to get completely forgotten because the only thing anyone remembers is that everyone hated the ending and forgot about the other, like, 99% of the game that was pretty
so
damn great.
So fantastic. And yeah, it bums me out, man.
Yeah, like, the end sequence itself, like, right before that ending.
Yeah, that was awesome. When you're in London, that was so good.
Mm-hmm. Spoilers.
And
yeah. London. Spoilers.
Oh, God. London. Well,
okay. I thought the, like, the new ending they put in, the, like, not branching one, the, what was it called?
Extended
the refusal
cut?
Ending?
Oh,
yeah,
the refusal
ending in the extended cut was amazing. I loved that ending. Mainly because I accidentally triggered it because I hated that fucking kid so much. Uh-huh. And, spoilers for the next, like, 10, 15 seconds. After he gave me the choice of which branch to take, I walked towards them and then turned around and shot him in the face, and that triggered the refusal ending.
Yes.
And it made my day, and... oh my god.
Yeah,
that
the
kid,
thing about... yeah,
he makes me want to sterilize the human race. Like,
oh man. I sense that Gabe feels things very strongly. All
Isn't
the things
ironic?
That Gabe. But,
well, it is in the sense that she gets that feeling when it's really Dylan that's usually yelling about something.
yeah, I'm not. I don't have anything to be angry about right now. we passed my anger trigger.
Oh, good.
Dragon Age. Yeah.
Dragon Age.
Yeah.
Dragon Age.
Yeah. Namely, number 2.
Right.
Yeah, that's. Anyway, I mean, for me, that's why games are important to me. they
did you
are
play
really...
Journey?
I did play Journey.
Yeah, I'm
it was
curious
fucking
what you
beautiful.
Thought about that.
I mean, visually, it was just stunning. It was one of the prettiest games I've ever played.
Yeah.
I liked it a lot. I thought that it would be... I just got the impression for some reason from the trailer that it was going to be something different than it was, so it took me a little bit to, like, acclimate to that. But then the experience of meeting random people and then having to... I like the idea of having no mechanics set up for communication and just trying to find ways of communicating through what mechanics you do have.
Definitely.
Was really fun. So just, like, pressing the... And I would just, like... When I was interacting with people, I'd press the active button, whatever one made that bleh, that like little thing that came out of you, over and over again, and just pretend they knew what I was saying. But it was just even just that little.
That's what everyone did.
Yeah, exactly. And even just that little bit of interaction was really nice, and it felt like there was no opportunity to troll anyone else, so it just felt like everyone's being friends. It's all camaraderie, and it's nice. And in the section, spoilers for Journey, when you're, confronted with the monsters, I was fucking awful because I was really scared. And so, my partner kept looking out for me and trying to make sure that I was getting away at the right times and stuff like that. So it was a really pleasant experience.
Or you could cheat like Javi and Gabe did, where they sat there and timed it until they found each other in the game.
That was after we already played through it a couple times in our defense.
It was pretty entertaining.
You two trying to find each other.
We were all in a Skype call, all four of us.
Are you jumping?
And me and
Gabe
were like, hey, are you the guy right here? Is that you? And
no,
he's like,
no,
jump.
No. it was like half an hour of, is that you? No. No. And then we got
half an hour of, is that you? No. Well, fuck this guy. I'm out. I'm reloading. This guy's on his own. Later.
And then but... the second level when I see like a random bong. It's like, Javi, did you just bong?
We're all just like rubbing into each other and going bong bong bong.
Even as they're talking to each other at the same time.
Yeah. Something I thought was interesting came up in my games and society class that I'm taking, which I was really surprised because my first impression of that class was just a bunch of man babies that like to hear the names of games they've played. But then the professor who was the co-creator of Age of Empires, just a little side note, he brought up Eco and how much he loves Eco and like the relationship and that you have with the girl and all the like the interpretation that goes into the story. And then someone like made a connection between Eco and Journey of how like you establish this like completely nonverbal relationship with someone and like in a completely mysterious place, and you're never told about a goal, but you just know like this is what you want to do. Just interesting.
Yeah, I mean, Journey is the first game from that game company that where I was like, all right, this is legitimately something special. Like Flow, I don't know why people like Flow, but Flower is pretty and relaxing. Yeah, but at the same time, I just kept thinking, why the hell isn't this on an analog stick? And really, you're just kind of hitting these little markers along your way that you're supposed to hit. You know, I don't know. None of them felt like the art that people were always saying that they're like the definitive forms of art in this medium. Not that they're not artistic, of course they are, but anyways, Journey was the first game where I was like, oh my god, like as the credits start rolling and has that beautiful song and it's showing you all the areas that you went through and you just got like this great, I don't know, satisfied feeling. Mm. And, like Ashley said about like, it forced you to, you have no choice and you don't really think about it, but you have no choice but to cooperate. Or you could ignore them too, but I don't know, maybe that's just not my nature. But you cooperate with the person that's with you, and the way you communicate is so interesting. Like, I love that.
I heard an interview with, what's the name, the guy that created it?
Jenovichen,
yeah. Mm-hmm. That was the game guy, because there was also the music guy, but I don't remember his name. Or he's saying that, like, originally, like, you could bump into each other and stuff, but he said when they were testing the game, like for whatever reason, everyone's first instinct was just to be an asshole.
To each other. Right?
So yeah. they took that out and made it to where you clip through each other.
Well, they literally made it so that touching each other helps each other because it refills your jump, your scarf. So, like, I don't know, and something about that, maybe it says something about the human condition, but, like, just being together like that, especially, like, during the winter part or, like, the snow parts where your characters are, you can see that they're slowing down and they're struggling, but then you touch each other and you glow and you get a little bit of a boost, and I don't know, like, it just feels great. It feels right. I feel like that game, to quote Derek, one of our old guests, he said, he was talking about Limbo at the time.
Of Starship Amazing.
Yeah, from Starship Amazing. but he was talking about Limbo, but I would put this on Journey 2. It's a perfect piece of software. Like, there's nothing I would change about Journey, and I think it'll age perfectly. Like, there's nothing 10 years from now that would need to be fixed to make Journey stand the test of time.
It's older games with, like, those types of art styles that aren't real hard to recreate. Like, you don't need a lot of power for them that, you know, still hold up today. You know,
the stylized.
Yeah.
But it's not even just about that. It's the way...
Well, yeah, obviously the mechanics of it are simple enough that... Yeah, there's...
I mean, but one of my playthroughs was so memorable because my partner knew where everything was. He's like, hey, come here. And it was just bong bong, you know, and like we were communicating with just pressing square. And it was amazing. And like, I don't know, I added him on PSN afterwards. I was like, that was really cool. Thanks a lot. And he's like, no problem, man. Anytime. And so like, I made a friend just from making little signals at each other, you know? Mm-hmm. Like,
right.
That's cool. Like, when does that ever happen?
Oddly enough, like my two favorite, like my favorite thing about Journey and Flower have nothing to do with, like, really how the game plays itself. Like, Journey, I didn't believe when PlayStation said that it's the fastest selling game on PSN. Like, that struck me as so bizarre and, like, just weird, but it, like, it fucking was. Like, there was no advertising for this game. It was just one of those, like, purely word of mouth things. Like, fucking Donnie Darko. Or like Boondock Saints or something, which
just
actually,
like that.
Yeah. Exactly like Donnie Darko. Spoilers, there's
it was,
a bunny
though,
in Journey.
You know, I had a friend in town for a weekend. I'm like, you should play Journey. Like, he was just hanging out at the house. I'm like, here, I turned it on and put it in his hand. It's the perfect size game too. You know, 2 hours, boom, you just beat it. And most people won't put their controller down. They'll finish it, they'll see it through.
Right.
And, Harris
and
had his mom play Journey.
He's like, that was awesome. He's like, how much is it? I'm like, $15. It might be a little steep, but I see it as a piece of art. You know, I want to own that for $15. And he goes, yeah, no, I'll buy it. I'm going to tell my friend to pick it up too. You know, this is not a hardcore gamer right here. You know, it's just a guy that I casually made him try it. You know, so yeah, I think word of mouth is a big deal, especially in this case. This is a piece of software that's built around play through it in one shot. You know.
Yeah. Right.
My favorite thing about Flower was that it has absolutely nothing to do with anything. It's just I showed my mom the game like a couple years ago, and like, she played through the first level and she really enjoyed it. But every single time like me playing games got brought up, like she would always bring up Flower, but she could never remember the name of it. So she just kept calling it a different like type of flower. So it was like, oh, Gabe had me play Tulip, or Gabe showed me this game Orchid. This one time.
I love Tulip.
I love Tulip.
Gabe's mom. So yeah.
But Harris...
Oh, Jesus.
I'm just kidding, Gabe.
But Harris had his mom play Journey, and oddly enough, he got the PlayStation Community Spotlight because he like sent a message to everyone that he played through Journey with. Little did everyone else know that he was texting me complaining about it the entire time. Just like, she doesn't know where to go. Like, she literally doesn't know where to go. She saw Fozzie sign on to the PlayStation Network, and she kept asking if everyone was Fozzie.
Come on. Wow.
Yep.
Well, I want to throw in, just because when Gabe brought up this topic, just to get back to the actual topic about why we play games.
We're still on it, Dick.
What?
I said we're still on the topic.
Yeah, I know. But
making fun of me.
Like, I don't know, this was just what I had thought of, like, when he brought that up, was, 'cause I think probably towards the end of college for me. I had kind of, like, I still played a lot of games in college, but not as often as I do now. And I think a big part of what brought me back was, like, right after I graduated, like, everyone kind of moves to different places and whatnot, and it was a lot of, like, the online stuff. Like, I picked up World of Warcraft probably a couple of months after I had graduated and, like, built a new PC and, you know, been playing a bunch of stuff on Xbox Live, and it's just that whole social aspect, you know, which I guess kind of ties into what we've been talking about. But, like, that is what really got me back into playing a lot of games. And even now, like, with Borderlands coming out...
which comes out in an hour!
Yeah, it comes out in an hour for Gabe.
No, it's in an, like, hour for everyone. You can play it on PC.
Spoilers!
It's preloaded on Steam.
Spoilers. But we all, like, I have three or four college buddies that, like, I live here in Houston, and a couple of them live in Austin, and one lives in Fort Worth, and, like, it's a really good way to, like, hang out without actually hanging out. Like, we played all the way through the original Borderlands. We've played through a lot of different co-op games, and it's mostly been co-op games, because even stuff, like, the only competitive stuff we've ever really played is Battlefield 3. Other than that, we haven't.
But
really done much else in the competitive space. But
what's cool about, like, the social aspect of games is, even if you play, like, online, so, like, say you're playing, like, well, like, Halo on, like, multiplayer online with other people, it's still something that's so much fun just doing the same house together, like, just setting
right.
up LAN or doing it, I don't know, like, you're on one TV, he's on the other, you both connected Xbox Live,
right?
It, like, the social aspects of game are, like, amplified by that, like, tangible experience you have with each other. Like, the best parts of PAX were no doubt us just playing Brawl in that free-to-play room.
Right.
or, you know, like, I know everyone has stories of just, like, hooking up, like, Halo with two TVs and two Xboxes. Like, we would set two couches back-to-back and, like, play it like that. So, like, I don't know, I got really big into, like, that social side of games. And I still like single-player games, but I mean, even now, like, with this group, how often is it that any of us, even when playing a single-player game, aren't, like, in a Skype call or something like that? Like, talking about the game we're playing or talking about whatever, you know? Like,
yeah, I thought you were going to ask, how often do we play games together? I'm like, TF2?
Yeah,
well, yeah,
TF2's
we play
really
the shit out
in
TF2. Yeah.
It used to be a lot more, but it's like, the more and more we talk on Skype, the less we play games that aren't TF2.
we had that one weekend fling with the
Blacklight,
which we should play again. That game was a lot of fun.
Let's see. So,
but yeah, it's just it's kind of like that social aspect evolved into, like, well, we started playing games together, and that was a big part of the social aspect, and now we're still playing games together, like, even if it's not the same game.
Yeah, well, we met Gabe during Resistance 2. We were playing an online game
Uncharted
of Resistance 2, and that's where we met him.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And look at now.
Thinking something.
4 years later, he's on the show with us.
Not getting paid.
Not getting paid.
No, actually, Gabe, I'm breaking the... Oh, no, I'm not breaking any walls. Anyways, but I had an interview with some guy who was writing a paper about Gabe. And he was asking about my relationship with Gabe, and I'm like... It's pretty interesting. He started out as a fan of the show, and, you know, he ended up joining one of our game nights, and here we are, what, a year or two years later? And he,
2.5.
Yeah, you write up the agendas, you edit the show, you post the show. This is your baby now. That's pretty cool.
We just found an easy source of labor.
It's Javi, it's Babby.
This is your Babby.
This is your Babby.
My bad.
But yeah, but also I wanted to ask, hey Ashley, how did you meet, or how did you hear about Starship Amazing? Like, I was curious about that.
Ryan was creeping on the Twitters, and he's like, hey, she just tweeted at Starship Amazing. I wonder if they know each other. We know them.
that's not what happened at all.
That's exactly how it sounds.
That's what he did.
Calvin,
he said
how
it
do
in
you
that
guys
voice,
know her?
And he tweeted me.
My friend Ben, who works at Fangamer.
Oh, Ben Carrington.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah.
I didn't say his last name because I still don't know how to pronounce it myself. I always fuck it up. But yeah, he's pals with them. right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's pals with them. We were at MAGFest, and he was like, I'm going to go see these guys, Starship Amazing. And
oh, you
like,
go to MAGFest?
Cool. Awesome. We have the past 2 years, but we're not going this year, unfortunately. But yeah, we saw them play their first live show, and they're super, super great.
Oh, yeah.
So I just kept... I've been listening to their stuff and recommending them to people ever since, because I like them a lot.
Hmm. Awesome.
See, now yeah. Most important question, what is the best song? Because there's a right answer.
Oh, God. Hold on, let me go back to their website. Which one do I like?
Hey, Ryan.
I like Y'all Stop Blogging a lot.
There's okay. A certain song in there?
Baby Still
That's
Too
the
Fat?
Album.
Best title.
So what's the first track in there, Ashley?
Oh, I was going to choose that one. Secondly, You Burnt.
Yeah, there it is.
Yep.
That's still not my favorite song.
Yeah, Ryan likes so Scoops, the Natural Born Color.
Really, really good.
Scoops, the Natural Born Color is my favorite song.
I think there are only like a couple songs they do that I don't listen to. They were on like the Man Who Had a Dream album.
Yeah. I like If Love Is a Fire, Then Let's Set the City Ablaze.
Oh, that one.
Well, that
awesome.
Was like the song that originally like Javi just like listened to them a few times, or I guess you'd probably listen to them quite a bit, and then just like, hey, we should have them on the podcast. And then they
oh no, I'm I was a huge, huge Happy Video Game Nerd fan.
Oh, that's and, right, that's right, that's right.
Well, yeah. And then I, you know, he started putting Starship Amazing stuff on his right. YouTube, and I'm like, oh shit, I like this too. And then I was like, yeah, let's see if Derek would come on. And he's like, you want me and Calvin? I'm like, yeah, bring him on. I'm like, let's do it.
And you had no idea Ashley? What you were getting into.
Yeah.
Have you ever actually talked to them, Ashley?
Yes.
Yeah.
Actually, Calvin was on a... Not Calvin. Yes, Calvin.
Derek.
Derek was on a panel with me at MAGFest.
Oh,
wow. Nice.
Cool. A web series panel.
Oh, okay.
And so I don't know how Derek is by himself, but... When nice, they're nice. Together,
well, I mean,
no, no,
yeah,
no, they're not mean. They're nice. Yeah, they're absolutely entirely lovable.
But they're,
just
insane.
Absolutely
yeah,
insane.
Together,
oh, really?
Together,
yeah, he
though,
was
like,
not
when
insane.
We, no, yeah, when we have them on the podcast Calvin. Together, like they, we have people that are like, man, all you guys do is laugh because it's true.
They are the reason for that.
Yeah, yeah.
You think we can't stay on subject now when those two are on? This show isn't about video games.
Yeah,
it's about whatever Calvin is looking up on DeviantArt.
It's about Sonic Stinky Feet fan fiction.
Yeah.
Muscular Sonic.
And they love, their favorite thing to do on the show is just come up with stories and names for Dylan. They love doing everything they can
Dylan's
with Dylan.
Anger.
Well, Dylan was a little bit intoxicated.
No,
last
I was
time
fucking drunk.
And they're like, he kept saying, random stuff,
jug.
And then they would just lose it and be like, oh, he's drinking from his bum jug again.
All right, well, the sad thing is, great. It's because I had that bottle, that gallon of beer next to me.
A gallon of
buy
beer?
A gallon of beer.
I bought it at the restaurant.
What, Bass Pro Fishing?
All right,
Sam's.
Let me just try to get us on the rails again. Ashley,
Good
you
luck.
Said you love video games because it's as a storytelling medium. That's why you most enjoy
yes.
it. Yes. I like that. Like I really. That's why I really enjoy. Like my two favorite games are clashing ideologies. My favorite game of all time is Metal Gear Solid, the first one. I think that that's such a tight, cohesive story, like, without the rest of the garbage that came afterwards, but, like, that first game is so good, and such an amazing little story, and it has lots of twists and turns, and, I don't know, it has a very special place in my heart. So, I agree with you there, like, storytelling is extremely important in some cases. But, my second favorite game of all time is Super Mario 64. Not a lot of story going on there.
I don't know, man, That princess is in trouble again.
She's always up to shit.
Yeah.
She baked a delicious cake for me. I feel like sometimes story doesn't matter. Like, gameplay can be everything. And that's part of the beauty of this medium, is that it can almost transcend its own medium and what it's trying to do. You know, you have games that are all about the music in the game. You know, you have
sound
games
shapes.
That are all about the story. Yeah.
Sound shapes is that I didn't talk about that enough. I fucking love sound shapes.
Mm-hmm.
I know I saw Anthony tweet about Sound Shapes. Did you ever get the chance to play it, Ashley?
Mm-mm.
Oh, man.
I know. So good. I'm just a bummer. I do play games, I swear to God. I just haven't played any of the ones when you asked me.
But so, I feel not with the story of Metal Gear Solid, it doesn't matter so much the content of the first one anymore. More of just like the landmark that it was of actually putting such an emphasis on it. Like the way that the introduction of that game makes you feel something different.
Oh yeah, like, I mean, and I showing it to people nowadays, I try to emphasize what a huge step forward it was for the entire industry. Like, people don't realize that, you know, before this, voice acting was either not in games, or if it was, it was Resident Evil 1. Like, it was abysmal, like, terrible voice acting.
Right.
And then, also, like, having the credits roll, like, while you're playing, that was, it's gimmicky, yes, but man, was it, like, it really stepped up the presentation. It was, like, I don't know. It was mind-blowing at the time. I was like, oh my god, the credits are playable.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But at the same time, it did so many like gameplay things to just fuck with you.
Yeah, I mean, it read your, when Psycho Mantis read your memory card, saw that you've been playing Castlevania, you know, it's just like, what? And then changing the controller port and, you know, looking at Meryl's codec on the back of the disc case.
Which, like, if you really think about it, changing that like controller port's like, that's kind of dumb, but it's just cool.
Right. That's so cool.
That's something like that they can like register in a game.
It's cool in that it's like it made you get up and do something like
totally
in your room.
Like I'd never seen that before, or since.
Yeah.
It was
you played the Wii, right? You had to get kind of shit in that. Motherfuckers.
Or like when your PS3 like that freezes game, or something.
That game broke a lot of new ground just for the industry, and it's incredibly important. But even with all that aside, I still think the story is solid. No pun intended.
Hey-o.
That's hey-o. A fucking first.
The big twist at the end. I don't know. I love it. Love it.
He used pun right. Just be happy about that game.
Just be happy he didn't make a pun.
No, he did.
No, he said no pun intended. That doesn't count.
Yeah. Oh, that negates it.
That's like saying with all due respect and then followed by an insult. It doesn't make the insult anymore.
Look, I'm not racist, but...
Fair enough.
But, games are just... Like, they have so much more to grow. And seeing things like 30 Flights of Loving or like Journey, like there's still so many things to experiment with that have already, like, that something like, I don't know, like movies have already like almost run its course in, and it's just doing what you can with the limitations that are given to you. Now in games, limitations aren't necessarily found yet. However, at the same time, that's kind of like a bad thing because people keep doing stupid things with Kinect, and I don't like those. Unless it's Happy Action Theater, because then it's just hilarious.
Well, I always said that the term interactive entertainment just always seemed pretentious, and just call it games, all right? But like, we are getting to a point. Like Ryan, you argue that Journey is not a game.
That was exactly what Journey was to me, was interactive entertainment.
Yeah, I think the more indie developers experiment and try new things, it's going to become. I mean, we're already becoming less and less "quote unquote" games, and becoming more interactive entertainment.
I think
entertainment.
There's room for both, and I think we'll keep seeing both. But yeah, I mean,
definitely.
It's like what David Cage does, and he openly says, "I don't want you to have fun when you play this. I want you to like feel things." Mm-hmm. He doesn't. Yeah. I think that's awesome. Like David Cage's demeanor may come off as like I don't know.
That's awesome until
it's still less pretentious than that guy that made Braid who said he invented a fourth spatial dimension. I know you didn't, asshole. Transforming into something is not another spatial dimension. You're a dummy. I hate you.
Damn, Ryan.
I was so mad when I read that.
Everyone else is mad except for me today.
I know. What's up with that? Dylan found his zen.
I just
we should have Ashley on every.
I don't have any venom right now.
He's not spitting hot fire.
I'm not.
So should we? We're running a little long. Should we move on to?
Let's hop into the questions. so we don't have to rush through them. Forever.
Because this is where Ashley really has to pay attention, because based on the best email, the one you like the most, I guess, you get to pick the winner of Borderlands 2.
Oh, man.
First question. Harris Foster. Oh, my God, we haven't talked about that kid enough. Hey, Ash, I love the show.
Thanks, Harris.
That's it. No, I'm just kidding. He says, have you or any other member of HOP had any crazy fan interactions? Was there ever a time where an overexcited fan did something crazy or anything?
Actually, at the most recent PAX, so if you haven't seen the Dark Knight episode, Grant, our friend, who people probably know now from Grant Plays Scary Games on our stream, slammed his head into a cupcake because I am imitating the Joker. Instead of killing him with a pencil, I slammed his head into a cupcake. So we were at the panel, and someone asked a question, asked if they could give us cupcakes, and he came up, and he put the cupcake on the table and slammed Grant's head into it, which is essentially just assault. That's just assault at that point. But it was fine. He gave us cupcakes. Grant was happy. He ate all of them.
Grant ate all of them.
Yeah, Grant ate every single one.
He also wore that cupcake for the
end. Yeah, he wore the cupcake until it finally fell off. Yeah.
So that was an interesting interaction. Otherwise, I can't really think of anything. People are generally pretty cool when they come up to us. So
cool. Yeah. Alright. Harris did not win Borderlands.
Sorry, Harris.
Harris is exempt from the competition.
Just want to say,
because he already
Tony
has
will be the crazy fan.
Yeah.
Shit.
He's just wondering where the line is. That's all he's asking.
Yeah, he's trying to find out how far he can push it.
Tony Odette writes in. He says, if you found yourself suddenly painted blue, which Smurf would you most resemble?
Tobias Fünke.
Not a Smurf, but we will accept it. Yes. I don't know enough Smurfs.
Yeah, I don't know anything about Smurfs.
My mind went straight to James Cameron's magnum opus.
I'm beginning to think you don't even know the name of the movie, Dylan.
it's Avatar, magnum Dylan. Opus. The movie is called Avatar.
Jake Sully. Alright, Blake Simmons writes in. Two questions. I think that's cheating, Blake, but we'll go ahead. Which episode of Hey Ash, What You Playing was the most fun to make, and why?
Man, I do not know. I even forgot all of the episodes we've ever made in my life. I'm gonna go to the website. Hold on.
You did punch Randy Pitchford in the balls one time.
Oh, I did. That was fun. That was a fun episode. We got to go to Gearbox and I ate all their candy. That was a good time.
Nice.
Yeah, maybe that one. Or, let's see. Gosh, I just don't know. Yeah, let's just go with that one. That one was fun.
Okay. And also, do you script and plan out all the episodes before you record, or is there a lot of improv?
If you can call it scripting, we script them out, and, we generally don't improv. Sometimes we'll do this thing where we just don't want to think of an ending. We don't want to think of a tag for the script, so we'll be like, and then something happens. And then on the day we're like, oh, fuck, we never wrote that. And so we have to sit down and figure out what the fuck the ending's actually going to be.
All right.
Hayden Wiseman, also known as Hayden Weiss, says, hey, dudes, and Ash. It's been a while since I've written in, but given the fact that I missed you guys at PAX, this is one of my favorite podcasts, I think I owe you one. This console generation is nearing the end, and I was wondering what some of the high and low points have been for you. This can be games, tech, innovation, or whatever. I'll lead off. I'll say that the PSN being down all summer last year was a really low point.
That was bad.
Also, the PS3's launch was a really low point. Also, the entire Wii's life cycle was a really low point.
Mario Galaxy is cool. You hit all the lows. That's cool.
Yeah.
I'd say the Mass Effect just arc, the whole production start to finish, was pretty good high there, game-wise. That was one that I was always anticipating the next one, so...
I think Uncharted 2 is still one of the best games to come out this generation, so I'll have that as a high.
Yeah, that multiplayer was fun.
Fuck you, Ryan. Fuck you, okay?
Shut up, Ryan. Ashley, you're not allowed to say negative things. How awesome was Uncharted 2?
Saints Row the Third was really awesome. I didn't play Uncharted 2. I don't have a PlayStation. And I'm a PlayStation. And I'm a PlayStation. I'm sorry.
Saints
Row the Third. Saints Row the Third was one I was waiting for a while too. I mean, it was granted, it was definitely the best of the three, but like the first two were so funny still. Like especially two. Like I said, like the first one was like don't think they knew what they were trying to do. They didn't know if they wanted to be, like, if they wanted to be Grand Theft Auto or if they wanted to be Saints Row the Third. And the second one, they kind of found their footing a little bit better. And the third one was just balls to the wall.
They went full retard.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it was fantastic. And if no one's, has everyone played Spelunky?
I have not.
I have not.
What?
Yeah, I wanted to. I've wanted to.
Oh, you guys, you gotta play it.
It looks real cute.
It's amazing. It's one of Anthony's favorite games of all time. Might be his favorite game of all time.
The one that just came out?
Wow. Yeah, the original and the HD remake are pretty much the same, except there's co-op. There's co-op, and then there's a really awesome deathmatch in that game.
Right.
So you all should get it. It's really good.
I will say a game that surprised me... was, and you guys know that I played the hell out of it, was like Kingdoms of Amalur.
Mm-hmm. You wouldn't stop playing that.
Yeah, I fucking loved that game. I was surprised at how fun I found it, especially because like I had just like completely given up on Skyrim because it was just, hey, have you seen this dungeon? And here it is again, except we moved this hallway over here. And Amalur was almost the same thing, but from a third-person view with a little bit different art style, and I loved it. So, for whatever reason, I don't know. But I think it was the combat was a lot better and more involved. But yeah, so that was a surprising moment for me this generation.
Hey, Dylan.
What up?
Dragon Age 2.
That's my low point. That is See... I wouldn't say I have a ton of low points. Most of them are just kind of disappointments scattered throughout, like, it's Dragon Age 2.
For starters.
I mean, Uncharted 3 was kind of underwhelming for me.
Yeah, that was a letdown.
But for the most part, there was a lot of gems for me that were unexpected.
Such as?
Dark Souls. Red Dead Redemption. I guess I wouldn't say that was unexpected. It's just I went on a media like blackout for.
It kind of came out of nowhere
before
though.
It, so I wasn't expecting it to even come out, and I bought it and I loved it. Mm-hmm. But
I really tried
Human
to
Revolution.
Like Red Dead.
Human
Revolution, you have as one of your gems.
Yeah.
Deus Ex.
Deus Ex. Gotcha.
But yeah, I was not expecting. Any like to fall in love with those games, and I did, and
yeah.
I would say those are my high points, especially Red Dead. That was probably my favorite game this gen, because I can't say Snake Eater again, even though it came out in HD. I'm not allowed.
I guess another couple of games that caught me off guard were the War for Cybertron and Fall of Cybertron games. Like, I just finished Fall of Cybertron the other night. Man, so much fun. So good.
How much of it is nostalgia, though? Just the fact that it's Transformers?
I think very little,
really?
Actually. Yeah.
So if it was, like, generic robot Fall of Robotron, it would be...
I mean, you lose some of the character connection there, I guess. Because, like, these are names that you know. And I don't know if that's so much nostalgia as familiarity, which... I guess there's a fine line between the two, but no, it like the way, especially this new one, like the way that they designed the levels to really take advantage of each, because each robot like isn't just the same robot with a different skin. Like, they all have a different ability, and the level design is set up really well to make sure you use them and force you to use them in different and cool ways, and, like, get you transforming from your robot form to your vehicle form back and forth, and it mixes them in really well, and it all moves very quickly. Like, the game rarely slows down. It's very fast-paced. And it's actually pretty challenging, even on normal difficulty, with a lot of cool, big set pieces and levels. So, no, there's definitely some of that nostalgia there, but, and especially in the first one, I think I forgave the first one a little more for that, but the second one didn't need that as much at all, really. Yeah. So.
Hey, Ash, any, like,
I thought you were going to make an awful joke. I thought you really were.
Hey, Ash, what are some high points that you've been playing?
Saints Row the Third was a high point. Mass Effect 3 was a high point. Spelunky. 30 Flights of Loving. I can't think of anything else right now. If I do, I'll just shout them without any context later on.
My turn. Okay. My turn.
Oh, Gabe.
My
Gabe.
Turn. Me. All
right. You.
High points. I'm a fanboy, so Mirror's Edge. And it's not because of the game at all. It's actually, this is something Anthony Birch said of with Far Cry 2. It's not.
Get off sort his of, dick.
I agree with everything he says.
God.
But he made really cool points about how Far Cry 2 was, like, the most important game of 2008, in that it wasn't, like, how the game presented itself so much as how he played it. I forget exactly how he did, but...
Permadeath.
Like, that's... Permadeath, there you go. That's similar to how I played Mirror's Edge, but without the whole Permadeath thing. Like, I turn off Runner's Vision, I put it on hard, I just want it to be me and the world. I don't use guns. Like, it's very much like my experience of the game, not what the game wants me to do. Like, that's one of the reasons I like that game so much, and something I realized, and I don't really want a sequel anymore. So, yeah, Mirror's Edge is a high point. Saints Row the Third also, fuck, like, that game blew my mind.
And it was so hard to get you to buy it.
It was.
No kidding.
I thought I was going to get bored with it really quickly. Ash, over like the Steam sale, it went on sale like 5 times. Mm-hmm. And I got it with about an hour left in the entire thing. It was like a final, like, eh, I don't need to buy lunch today. So I'll just buy Saints Row the Third. But yeah, that was a high point. We already talked about that, so I don't need to say anything. Low points?
Uncharted 3.
Not Arkham City.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I think Arkham City
the
no, one of the more...
No, you missed it. When I was playing it, when I bought it on PC, Gay would, like, Steam message me. That game sucks.
Wow.
That's...
Wow.
I think that's, like, the most ungraceful sequel, like,
that it's not
I've
that
played.
Bad.
No, it's not that. It's not that. It's just
such, worse.
It's
I
worse.
Don't
they
understand.
They totally missed what was so good about, like, the first game and took it in the entire wrong direction by making it so unfocused and jumbled. And what also bugged me about it was how much everyone just loved that game so much more than mm-hmm. Arkham City, and that just blew my mind and made me kind of feel
so much
lonely.
Silent.
That's what I meant to say. That's how weird I feel.
Let me just say, it's cool to hear those words come out of someone else's mouth, because I was saying this when it first came out, and I'm like, wait, am I crazy? Everybody else loves this game.
Yeah, I don't think I played it right away, but I mean, yeah, I totally agreed. I was, like, I think you and I had this conversation briefly, Javi, where it was just mm-hmm. like the first one just felt so precisely designed with every room and the way it was laid out, and you kind of lost that in this one.
Yeah.
You just... Yeah, like I said, it was memorable being able to... My friend would be in a room, and he'd be like, oh, I don't know, and he could describe a little piece of the room, and you knew exactly where he was in the game, because everything was so meticulously designed.
Yeah.
And that didn't really happen in the second game.
What part of the city are you in? Oh, the one that's blue.
Oh, now it's phone's
the,
ringing.
It's
I
got
don't
the buildings. The tall ones.
All right. That was clearly the most intense question we've had, but unfortunately, Hayden Weiss ends it with, P.S. My PC is shit, so make sure someone else gets Borderlands 2.
Thank you for being honest.
Okay, well, we do have a couple of
Wait, time out. Well, quick high point that's going to shock Dylan.
Platinum Games.
Black Mesa.
Oh, I... Gabe! this is huge. This is monumental. Gabe hates Half-Life.
Actually, Gabe and I are known for not caring for Half-Life.
I hate Half-Life.
Yeah.
I am the only Valve fanboy in this podcast.
Pump the brakes. Do you know how many hats I have?
Yeah. Gabe has spent $8,000 on hats.
Is that true?
No.
Okay, I was going to say.
Gabe pays your salary.
It's a slight exaggeration, but he has spent a fuck ton of money on hats.
It's not on hats. It's on various
items. I just always felt alone in my undying love of Gabe Newell.
Really? Because everyone fucking loves Half-Life.
I know. No, of Half-Life 1 and 2. Like, the other three...
I just can't seem to find any other Half-Life fans. It's so weird.
On this show, you jackass.
No,
and this is huge. This is monumental to hear Gabe say Black Mesa is a high point.
It's not so much... Well, the game, like, how they... transferred it from the 1998 Half-Life to now, I think they made some little tweaks that really make me like it more. Like, they added some weight to, like, how you move. Like, just how they handle the camera when you, like, move side to side. It's such little tiny tweaks that make me like it. And also that was just made by, like, 8 people that just threw it out there for free. Like, I need to donate to them. Like, I need to, once I get my next paycheck. It's such, like, a special thing to see people doing that because they love something so much. And because they love it so much, it makes me sort of feel the same way.
Yeah, now you understand why I name Half-Life as the best first-person shooter of all time. Do you understand, Gabe?
That's a no.
Give me an answer.
That's a no. He said he liked Black Mesa. Don't push it. Just leave it.
Give me an inch and I will take a mile.
I found the development of Half-Life that I just recently read about, like, amazing. They put together that game in a year, essentially. And they weren't afraid to completely scrap all the parts that they admitted were bad about the original, like, draft of Half-Life they had. And, like, the way they developed it was a different idea. They tried to, like, after they realized what they had was not fun and boring, they took that entire game, that full-length game they had, and cut out about 20 minutes of it. Like, cut it all down to 20 minutes, and they're like, okay, that's one level of our actual game that we're going to ship. Now we need to do that for X amount of hours. So to do that, they tried to find, like, essentially Jesus of game development for a couple months, and then they all came to realize that person doesn't exist. So what they did was they created what they called a cabal of just, like, 5 or 6 people that would meet at the same time and just throw ideas back and forth that would then be, like, immediately critiqued and then would begin developing on. And that's how they made Half-Life in a year. And that's, I found that amazing.
Wow, Gabe.
Word.
Yeah.
That's deep. Right.
Ashley Birch.
Yes.
Hello. Jordan Rodkey has purchased a PC recently. And he would like to know what some awesome strategy games are that aren't Civ 5.
Oh, monster.
Strategy games that aren't Civ 5. Has he played... Well, I guess there's no way for you to ask him. Orcs Must Die is a really good strategy series, I think. I like it a lot.
Those are good.
They're fun, because I don't really like the top-down, like, super like tower defense sort of things as much as mm-hmm. like I really like Orcs Must Die was the first tower defense game that I was really really invested in.
Did you ever try Iron Brigade?
I didn't. Should I?
That game was good. Yes. Okay. It's very good. Very good.
I will.
Play it with some people.
Is that mech game on Xbox?
Yes. But it's a tower. It's the same kind of deal. It's a tower defense, third person, big robots. That's
a lot of stipulations.
Oh,
Ryan.
That's the Double Fine game, right? Trenches. Yeah Trenches.
Yeah, it was Trenched Iron or Brigade. Whatever. Yeah, but yeah, it's Iron Brigade now. Yeah. But yeah, grab some friends and play it. It's a lot of fun.
Okay.
We're looking to XCOM. XCOM Enemy Unknown comes out next month.
Yes, I'm excited for XCOM because I feel like... I mean, Rock Paper Shotgun gave it a glowing... Like, the most positive Rock Paper Shotgun review I've ever seen in my life, so...
Really?
I'm pretty excited for it.
I've never heard of that site, but that's the coolest
really? Thing. Really? Oh, wow.
Yeah, Rock it's like all PC stuff, though. Yeah, right?
Yes, but so there's...
That would be why Javi hasn't heard of it.
Oh, okay, I getcha. They're some of the smartest dudes in games journalism, I think.
That's
so cool.
That's pretty awesome. I played their original XCOM, and it's fucking brutal. So I'm just curious if the new one is that same level. Yeah.
But it sounds like it's not listening to Joysticks podcast earlier today.
Oh, really?
It sounds like it is. It's pretty
brutal. I think the only game I can think of that's as unforgiving was Space Hulk for 40K. That was pretty rough.
Space Hulk?
Yes.
Oh, right, let's not get off track anymore.
That's all the emails we got. Ryan, hit us up with some Twitter questions, and we'll wrap this baby up like a little pancake or something.
Okay. No, I'm going to drop some of these. I want to ask this one because I think Javi and I will have one answer for it. Chris Scott asks, are arcade-style brawlers dead?
No.
And I think that we would both point to Scott Pilgrim.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was such a fun game.
Or Castle Crashers.
Scott Pilgrim's the shit.
Yeah, Castle Crashers.
That's
is
coming
really
out
good.
For PC. Although,
those guys, man. So that's like, what they still show that thing at PAX.
Yeah, Castle Crashers won't die.
Yeah,
it's amazing. Like it's,
they just keep bringing it.
It's been at PAX as long as I have.
Yeah.
God,
3 years.
Yeah. Yeah, the very first year I went to PAX was in 2007, and I got a Behemoth lanyard because Castle Crashers was coming out.
And they still give them out at each and every PAX today.
Yeah. Yep. So, I don't know. I know that me and Javi had a lot of fun with Scott Pilgrim.
And Double Dragon just got remade by WayForward.
Yeah, but I heard it wasn't. Some people thought it wasn't.
Double Dragon was never very good anyways.
Yeah, it wasn't. But
yeah, I said it.
I watched the Two Best Friends video on it, and it just looks like something that you just laugh at, and that looks like something I can do.
Right. I imagine that's why he was asking, because maybe he didn't like it. I don't know.
I'm curious. But Konami made all the best brawlers from back in the day. And then you look at Konami now, especially like at PAX, like almost all their games are made by just third-party developers. It's like, what happened to Konami? Where are they? Like, what are their studios doing if they even have any left? Like, Kojima Productions is the only one I know of. And then, like, Castlevania is being handled by some Spanish team. And then, what was the other one? Silent Hills, done by... I can't remember. But it's all Western developers, or not Japanese, not in-house. So I'm wondering what happened to Konami.
Right. I don't know.
I don't know.
99 okay. Nights
Right 3. In to mail at GameOverNation.com if you know what happened to Konami.
have you seen Konami?
Where you at?
All right. Next question comes from Rachel. Rachel asks, would the release dates of the next console sway your decision to which you invested in, like if one were released first? I don't think
so. The reason I am invested in my PS3 and I buy all multi-platform titles for my PS3 is because that's what I had first. So, if the Xbox 720 came out like a year before the PS4, that's what I'm going to buy first. That's what I'm going to buy my first titles for and my controllers, and that's what I'm invested in.
You would jump back over because, again, I don't... For some people, this isn't as big a deal. For others, it is. Your whole trophy system is likely still going to be tied in to the next PlayStation. Like,
but I'm over that. I don't care about trophies.
Yeah, trophies.
Wow, there are revelations happening.
Dylan's mind is just...
I'm not angry. Javi doesn't care about trophies, and Gabe likes a Half-Life title.
What is happening?
Did I open a dimension? Like an alternate dimension?
Yeah, I blame Monumental. Straight up blame Ashley for everything.
And Ryan is not actually from Texas.
No, that's still true.
Ashley
that's
created a paradox hard. When she isn't actually playing anything. So that's what happened.
Yeah, this is a weird podcast. Things going all wonky.
I think for me, I don't know, like I didn't have either of the first two PlayStation consoles. So I don't know, like I'm very much kind of mentally set on getting the next Xbox and having that be my primary console again. I don't know if it'll be. I don't know if there'll be a year between those two. Maybe.
Yeah, probably not. But like, probably if it's even 6 months, then the deed is done, and that should be a message to Sony to get their shit out as soon as possible.
If all rumors are true, it sure sounds like the next Xbox is taking its sweet little time getting out, and the next PlayStation is going to be out like next year.
Really? Because I remember the last thing the PS4 will be done when it's done. We're not hurrying anything. And then Microsoft.
There's been tons of Microsoft rumors for next year.
Next year?
Yeah, there's all sorts of news.
I thought like things just came out saying that it got stuck in like quality issue or like failed quality
issue. That gigantic document that was leaked or whatever that no one's really confirmed, but that was all 2013 all over it.
Yeah, people at Valve would know. So, hey, Ash, what's going on?
At Valve? Yeah. Oh, boy.
We need all the secrets.
No, what's going on with the 720? You know.
So many hats.
Oh, man.
So many hats.
You won't believe how many hats.
I like to imagine whenever Gabe Newell walks in, he just throws a couple hats to employees.
Yeah, I have to wade through waves of hats to get into work.
Robin Walker's office is just a hat store.
Yeah. Actually, Robin Walker is just a hat.
He's just a hat.
Yeah, we just hired a human representative.
We now, because it was said on our podcast, we now own the rights to all t-shirts that say Robin Walker is a hat. It's not a hat, ironically.
It's a shirt.
You know, I just realized
that word
we were
makes
going
me
with
mad
that,
now.
No, I didn't map that out ahead of time. It just kind of went there. Mm-hmm. I promise. Yeah, I guess anyone else got anything to add?
You
to
know,
the
I was I'm
console thing. I mean, I am buying the Wii U first, but I still don't. That likely won't be my primary.
I'm kind
gaming
of
system.
With you. I'm not buying a Xbox, but I'm kind of set with what I'm gonna get, and I'm gonna stick with the PC for shooting games, and then I'm pretty set on getting a Wii U just because, I mean, I'm still a pretty big Zelda and Metroid fanboy, so.
Right. I know I'll eventually end up owning all three of the next-gen consoles. So.
Yeah. I figure that's all I'm going to need. I've kind of lost...
Yeah, you don't touch your other...
I haven't touched my 360 in months, and I don't have a PlayStation anymore. It bit the dust, and frankly, I don't care. that's horrible, but I've lost interest in console.
It's not that horrible. You're okay.
At least you bite your tongue.
Yeah.
Bottom line is there's a lot of Sony exclusives that I don't want to miss out on next generation.
Right, exactly.
Like if they're bringing on franchises from this gen, which of course they will. So I'm going to pick up PS4 regardless. Xbox, it's basically if they can get out early, then that's probably going to be my primary console. I'm a Nintendo kid. I need my Mario in HD. Yes, I don't care what I pay. But, I mean, not
well,
2D
you
Mario.
Kinda
I don't.
Huh? You kind of care what you have to pay.
I kind of care. Yes, but I will buy a proper, 3D Mario game like that. That will get me to buy a Wii U easily, and Metroid and Zelda and friggin' if Star Fox is what retros work. Anything by retro, I'm down.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I don't care what I play on. I just like to play things. Like, I don't really.
You're a whore.
Yeah, I'm poor, so I'll probably just stick with my PC for quite some time.
And we're not paying you anytime soon.
Uh-uh. I'm bottom of the food chain on that regard.
All right.
Next question.
Next question also comes from Rachel. She says, also, Ashley, will you go to prom with me asking for Harris?
Harris Foster, one more time.
Wait, what?
Harris Foster gets mentioned one more time.
Yeah. It's okay. You can say no.
Harris, where do you live?
He lives here in
Houston.
Then no, I will not go to prom with you.
Owned.
Yep.
So sorry, you get Harris.
We tried. We tried Harris.
I'm tweeting at him right now. I'm just saying, ha ha.
She said no.
You're so mean.
I'm going to Steam message him saying that right now.
You guys are the worst.
Yeah, well, Harris doesn't eat the crust on sandwiches, so he deserves it.
That's weird.
You guys were so angry about that.
I don't care. It's still weird. I was defending
just
him.
Just to bother Gabe, yeah. I'm going to not drink the liquid in my soup and just eat the noodles.
How's I don't care about that. Well, let's
Ash,
fucking,
did you
let's
eat
go.
Anything... At PAX, like, any of the restaurants around, and did you have anything that was not very good? Because I had a panini that was, like, super oily and not... I wasn't digging it. I don't know. I'm just wondering.
No. I was good on the food front.
It was all delicious?
Yeah, it was
Damn.
Good times.
Well, shit.
Yeah, sorry, man.
Yeah, and you missed out on the waffles.
Yeah, sorry, Sweet Iron waffles.
Apparently there was amazing waffles at Sweet Iron, I believe?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, so check that out, downtown.
But all right, and that's it.
After much deliberation
and elimination
and elimination,
really, you won through attrition, which is still winning.
Yes, Jordan Rodkey. I mean, Ashley, who won?
Jordan did.
Yes,
yay!
Jordan.
Huzzah!
Congratulations, Jordan! You're the owner of a brand new digital shiny ass copy of Borderlands 2, featuring Ashley Birch's lovely voice.
Sup.
So.
Sorry to everyone else. Don't be mad at me.
Send your hate to Ashley at... No. Alright, so yeah, that's going to do it for episode 60 of Game Over Nation. Thank you so much, Ashley. You've been lovely.
Thanks yes. for having me,
Thank
guys.
You very much.
Yes. Anything you want to pimp real quick?
Yeah.
While we're here?
I guess Borderlands 2 is... That's get that and do that for a
if
while.
If you haven't right heard of now. Borderlands 2,
yeah, it's
you
this,
can
it's
probably
this
find it at
game
your local
that,
game store.
Yeah, heard about.
My little place called Gearbox. They're in Dallas.
Yeah.
They're in Plano, really, right?
Yeah, Plano.
Is that right?
Sure are.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening to the show. Thank you, Ashley, for coming on. Ryan, Dylan, Gabe, me. We all love you guys. If you want to write in for next week, our email is mail@gameovernation.com. Or you can follow us or tweet at us at GameOverNation. Ashley, you are at Hey Ash, whoop. Hey Ash WP. Yes. Make sure to follow her, tweet at her, tell her how much you loved her on the show, all those good things. Or how much we suck and we should never have cool guests on again. But
you guys.
Thank you.
Come on.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thank you, Ash. And we'll see you guys next week. Bye.
See everybody.
Bye.